Friends in Jesus, our fearless leader, who chooses a meager donkey to ride into Jerusalem on. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you weren't already aware of it, we have a series of midweek Lenten messages that Pastor Troep had put together a few years ago, and each one has an animal. And the focus tonight, as we see on the cover that is so beautifully portrayed, that of a donkey, the animal. A donkey. Yeah, I wondered if Pastor Troep thought, well, I don't want to do the donkey, let Pastor Perry do the donkey. I'm not sure if that was in his thoughts or not. But, you know, as we think about our children or maybe grandchildren, how many of you read children's stories, fairy tales to your grandchildren? Are we the only? Oh, there's a few others. Good, good. And usually there's this powerful horse and handsome prince, and they come and meet this princess, I guess, this beautiful lady, and they get married. And you know how the story goes, and they lived happily ever after. You find, I said, in that those stories, often fairy tales, and even some as more recent, like Lord of the Rings, you have a horse and a leader, king, riding in triumph on this strong animal with all his armor on, Lord of the Rings. The image has been burned in our memory. The king and his horse are always triumphant. Well, that's not the image of the animal that we're looking at tonight. We get to our King Jesus, get to see an image of him as he rides into Jerusalem, his final time, on not a horse, not a stallion, but a donkey. I don't know about you, but I don't have fond memories. As I thought about a donkey, I thought of pinning the tail on the donkey, you know, you'd throw those arrows. Just not a real lofty picture of a donkey. But a donkey is what it was. Not an impressive animal by any means. A lowly creature, not much use in society. Maybe you see him occasionally, but not too often. Sometimes people may be even called by a derogatory name, donkey. So why does Jesus choose a donkey for this last triumphal entry into Jerusalem? I found it interesting that Pastor Troep had done some study, and actually in Jesus' day, before the Romans, the horse was the big animal, the mode of transportation. But in Jewish life, early on, before the Romans, the donkey was the general mode of transportation. It wasn't as derogatory as what we might think of today. For instance, the newly appointed king of Jerusalem would ride into city on a donkey. There's an example in 1 Kings where King David makes his son Solomon king, and he puts him on this donkey, and he rides into Jerusalem. David commands Zadok, the priest, first to anoint Solomon as king, and then he puts him on his own donkey and sends him into Jerusalem as a sign that this was the king. This is significant because when Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey, Zechariah had already prophesied this would take place, and so it's fulfilling the prophecy that this son of David not the first David and his son Solomon, but Jesus, the son of David, is in that line of impressive people in the history of Israel, and of course of the world for that matter. There's another reason that Jesus rode on the donkey. Zechariah, we heard prophesied, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Israelites, as I said, generally rode donkeys. Horses were reserved for military use. Martin Luther, I discovered this, writes on this verse. He says, and it gives an interesting perspective of the importance for us of this prophecy of Zechariah. "Here there is no violence, no armor, no power, no anger, no wrath. Here there are only kindness, justice, salvation, mercy, and every good thing." Think of that triumphal coming into Jerusalem on a donkey of Jesus. This tremendous picture without violence or power or anger, just kindness, justice, and salvation. Today's gospel reading, Jesus was on his donkey, making his way into Jerusalem. Luke tells us that he went up on the Mount of Olives and then he came down to the gates of Jerusalem. And people were laying their outer garments, taking off coats like some of you have, and laying them in front of him as a way of reverencing, worshiping him, seeing him as the son of David, the prophesied Messiah. All the people there, we're told, began praising God for the miracles. And the context and the footnotes of the study Bible says especially these people would have known about a couple miracles, the healing of the blind man and the raising of Lazarus, as those miracles were in the context when this took place. One of those, or those, would have been among the mighty works or miracles that Jesus had done. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Think of the excitement as they have experienced and witnessed and heard about these miracles of Jesus, and they see him now as fulfilling these prophecies. The disciples and others there weren't nobility. They weren't prestigious people, we would say today. These were everyday folk. They were fishermen and shepherds. You name whatever occupations that you might have. They were tax collectors, prostitutes, sinners, just like us. And what they all had in common was that they had seen or heard about these miracles and believed that this was the Messiah prophesied from Old Testament times, the prophecy of the coming Savior of the world, that he was the Son of God. They were unlike the religious leaders of the day, the Pharisees. They wanted to make Jesus be quiet. Now, why is that? Why is it they were all Jews? They all believe the Old Testament, huh? Well, quite simply, the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, didn't see Jesus, didn't believe Jesus as the fulfillment of the prophecies of the Old Testament. That was the difference. Jesus didn't fit their model, and they kind of had a system of government, and he was interfering with it. He was taking away the attention from themselves by his works and words. They pictured him as someone, that is, the Jewish leaders, pictured the coming Messiah or Savior as someone who would defeat the Romans, who would come with a strong earthly power And Jesus just didn't fit the mold for that. Their image is a lot like people in churches today. Some churches, let's just leave it at that, expect that Jesus is going to make the congregation all strong and overflowing the pews like it was here last Saturday for Dan Bowman's funeral service. But that's not the picture that we have of Jesus, that he's going to, as in Jesus' day, make a strong entry into the Roman world with power and might, or with power and might in our worship services in our local congregations. How does he defeat our enemies? By going to the cross, being crucified, and then rising from the dead. And he defeats our enemy, the devil, and sin and death, by suffering and dying on the cross in our place. Not the kind of leader, Messiah, many people were looking for then, or for that matter, looking for now. But he will reveal himself. And on the third day, he rose from the dead. And that's going to be the experience that we carry with us as the height of his power and significance, even when we don't see it in our earthly lives or communities or churches. The NIV translation of the Bible entitles this gospel reading, "The Triumphal Entry." Like the religious leaders of Jesus' day, there are still those who receive phone calls or ask the question, whichever you wish, where is the triumph of riding into Jerusalem on a colt only to be killed? It just didn't measure up to their expectations. Kind of like those fairy tales we hear about, or in Roman history for that matter. Triumphant kings riding into cities on horses to conquer the enemies with their powerful strength. Not our king, not Jesus. The baby donkey only carried Jesus into Jerusalem toward victory. The rest was yet to come. Eventually, Jesus would leave his tomb and thereby would broadcast to the whole world of his victory that had been achieved. We've got to wait till Easter till we celebrate that. We have to wait till Jesus coming again till we celebrate it in our lives with family and friends to the full extent of him who comes in the name of the Lord. Now may the peace of God, which comes through faith in Jesus, our victorious King, by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until he returns in the glory of heaven. And the people of God said,
Amen.
Amen.